In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we were looking at the Gospel of Mark. We saw John the Baptist preaching the Word of God, making ready for Jesus Christ, preparing the way, and he knows who he is and he knows who he isn't. He knows he's not the Messiah, but he's a voice. He's the voice, but you know who Jesus is? He's the Word. Jesus is the Word. And John the Baptist was in the Jordan River baptizing people for repentance. Oh, yes. And they came to him and they asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No, I must decrease and he must increase." Talking about Jesus, he said, "I baptize you with water, but one who comes after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit," and in Luke's Gospel, with fire. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need that fire of the gospel. We need that fire of the gospel that causes us to preach the Word of God, to live the Word of God, and to share the Word of God. We need it. We need it. Then we see Jesus going by, and he sees Peter and Andrew. They were brothers. And he says, "Come and follow me." And immediately they leave and they follow Jesus. This is amazing. I wonder what kind of look Jesus had in his eyes. What kind of power, what kind of demonstration, even in his words, that he spoke with authority. And they left everything to follow him. And then he goes by a little further. And we have Jimmy and Johnny, the sons of Zebedee, and they are washing their nets, they are cleaning their nets, and he says, "Come and follow me," and they leave their father Zebedee. What kind of look did he have in his eyes? What kind of authority did he speak with? Much authority, and he speaks with that authority today. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm looking at the first chapter of Mark, verse 21. "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered the synagogue and taught." Jesus is always teaching the Word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. I want you to know that the synagogue at Capernaum is right across the street from Peter's house. That is the place where Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." He said, "I am the living bread, the bread come down from heaven." That's where he said it, at the synagogue at Capernaum. Notice we don't say the temple. There is no temple but in Jerusalem, and it was destroyed in the year 70. Some Jewish people plan on building another temple. Temple is where the sacrifice takes place, the sacrifice of animals. But we don't need sacrifice of animals anymore because Jesus shed his blood for us once and for all. And so he went into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because he taught as one who had authority and not as the scribes. He taught with authority. God has given Jesus the authority to speak. When he speaks, it does what he says. So we're going to see, "And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?'" I'll tell you, if people had demons in the synagogue, I wonder how many people have demons in the churches. And we need Jesus to bring deliverance. The best way to receive deliverance is through the Eucharist, asking Jesus to take away all the garbage that we have, all the openings that we gave to the devil. Saying, "Let us alone." How do these openings come in? Especially through the occult. Especially through the occult. And through the book on the miracles. That's wrong. I know the book of miracles is wrong because it doesn't talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. and yoga. Oh, yes, we're not supposed to be practicing yoga. Demons come in when we practice yoga. You might say, how do you know this? Because we've dealt with it with people. Reiki. Oh, brother, don't let any nurse or doctor or therapist do Reiki on you. This is another way for the enemy to enter into people. We don't want that to happen. There was a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The devil knows his adversary. The adversary of the devil is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you today, because the devil has no power over the risen Savior, he tries to have power over you. He tries to discourage you. He tries to make you feel insignificant. He tries to tell you that your sins aren't forgiven. Let me tell you this, anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ. And what did Jesus do to the devil? He rebuked the devil, saying, hold your peace. In other words, you better shut up. I don't want you to proclaim who I am. You're a demon, and I want no PR from demons. I want PR from people who love me and who love the Father. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, that means the kingdom of God has come upon you. Oh, let me tell you, this is something. The casting of demons out of people means that the kingdom of God has come upon us. Because now no longer is the devil in control, but Jesus Christ is in control. He destroyed the devil and the works of the devil through his preaching ministry, through his deliverance ministry, but especially on the cross. Especially on the cross. We see Jesus preaching everywhere. Everywhere he goes, he preaches. Why? Because he knows that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands unclean spirits, and they obey him. I tell you what new authority. It is the Son of God, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. It is the Son of God, the one who is worthy of praise and honor and adoration. It is the Son of God who speaks the word of God with authority. Oh, we need people to speak the word of God with authority, not condemnation. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about authority, that people would speak the word of God with authority. And immediately Jesus' fame spread about through all the region round about the Galilee. So people started to come to him. People started to come to him with their demons, with their sicknesses. And this is what Jesus did. He healed them. He delivered them. But first he preached to them. Let's continue. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, right across the street from the synagogue, and James and with James and John. But Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with the fever, and they told him about her. And he came and looked at her and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. This is amazing. When you had a fever, you usually would die. There were no antibiotics. But here Jesus just touches her hand, and I'm sure he rebukes the fever, and she becomes healed, completely healed by the power of God. And what does she do? She starts to minister to them, starts to get the chicken soup, starts to get this, that, and the other thing so that they can eat. Jesus has just gone from the synagogue at Capernaum into the house of Peter and Andrew, and who else is with them? James and John. And what has Jesus done? He's now healed the mother-in-law of Peter. And at evening tide, when the sun was setting, They brought unto Jesus all that had diseased and them that were possessed with devils, you see? They knew that they had to come to Jesus because he would be the one to heal them. Not the Course in Miracles, no. Not the white light, no. Not the astrology, no. But Jesus comes to heal the sick. He comes to heal the sick, and he comes to bring deliverance to those that are possessed and who are obsessed. Most people are obsessed, not possessed, because he comes to bring healing to the people. And the finger of God is upon us. That means the kingdom of God has come upon us. And the city was gathered together at the door. The city, they are all at the door, but they can't get in, you know. Because there's no room for them. They're at the door. They want to hear what he has to say because he speaks with authority. They want to hear. Oh, he doesn't condemn them. There is no condemnation that Jesus gives. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He speaks to them about the Heavenly Father, about the kingdom of God, about healing, about deliverance, and he speaks with authority. So the people gathered at the door and the city could not get in, and he healed many that were sick of many diseases and cast out many devils and suffered and told the devils to speak, not to speak because they knew him. Again, Jesus wants no PR work from the devil. He wants the work of God to be given by people who love him. And on the morning, rising up very early before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and he began to pray. So Jesus needs to be with the Heavenly Father. He is a man as well as God, and he comes early in the morning to a private place to seek the face of God. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said to them, "Everybody is looking for you." In other words, come on, let's go back, have another service. Let's go back and heal the sick. Let's go back and cast out demons. Let's go back. They're all looking for you. And Jesus said unto them, "Let us go on our way to the next towns, for I must preach there also. For therefore came I forth." In other words, I'm not going back. We don't have to put up a tent. I'm going to the next town, and I'm going to preach the kingdom of God. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to cast out demons. Jesus said, "I'm not going back to Peter's house today. It's not that time. I'm going to go to another town to do what I did in Peter's house, to do what I did in Capernaum." And he preached in the synagogues throughout Galilee, and he cast out devils. Again, the casting of devils means that the kingdom of God has come upon us. Verse 40 of chapter 1. And there came a leper unto Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down before him, saying, "If you will, you can make me clean, if you will." That's what we say, you know, if it's God's will. I'm going to tell you, it is God's will to heal the sick. It is God's will. How do I know that? By his stripes we were healed. It is God's will. I'm not saying we shouldn't go to the doctors. I went to the doctors yesterday for an examination. I go to the doctors very often. But I'm telling you, the healer is not the doctor. I do what the doctor says. I take the medicine the doctor gives me. But the healer is Jesus Christ. I know that's real. In other words, you go to the best doctors, and you go to the best person who can heal you. His name is Jesus. "If you will, you can make me clean," the leper said. And Jesus moved with compassion. Compassion means he suffered with this guy. He put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will it. Be thou clean." You must know that leprosy was a disease not only of the skin, but it caused people to be away from the community. There could only have been a blotch on the person's face. That was called leprosy. But you see, they didn't have antibiotics then. That blotch might what? Might spread over his whole body and eat away at his own body. So we see Jesus healing the leper. And what happens next? And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. He was cleansed, brought back into the community. And he straightly charged the man not to tell anyone, and he sent him away. And he said unto him, see that you tell no man about this, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the cleansing things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. In other words, you're not going to tell anybody. Why does Jesus tell the leper not to tell anybody? Because the big miracle is not the cleansing of leprosy. The big miracle is dying on the cross when he takes our sins and takes our turmoil, takes our unforgiveness, takes all the evil that's been around us. He wants to cleanse us by his blood. That is the big miracle. But the man went out and began to preach and publish it to everyone, insofar that Jesus could not openly enter the city, but was without in desert places. Why is he in desert places? He's praising the Lord. He's worshiping the Father. And they came to him from every quarter. I'm going to tell you, this is real. This is real. That they all came to Jesus. Anyone that has a healing gift, people will call at all times of the day, would you pray for me? I need this. Would you pray for me? I need that. And I know that the Lord has used our prayers because he loves the people that he sends to us. It's not about the healer. It's not about the one who heals. It's about Jesus. He's the one who heals. It's about him. But it's not about the person who prays. It's about Jesus, who is the healer. Who is the healer. But God has given us gifts of healing. It tells us in 1 Corinthians that God has given us gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. It tells us that God has given us the experience to heal the sick of many, many diseases. You know, some people have a wonderful gift to heal backs. And that's what they use most of all. Backs get healed by them. I need to see those people, I'll tell you. But other people, they are very, very powerful in praying for cancer, that it would be healed. But some people have gifts of praying for healing for backs and cancer and other diseases. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days, it was spoken that he was in the house. Whose house? Peter's house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. In other words, Jesus again is preaching the word of God, and there's no room to get in to the house. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Again, Jesus is a preacher. He preaches the love of the Father. He preaches forgiveness of sins. He preaches the kingdom of God. And they came unto him bringing one sick man who was paralyzed or who had palsy, and he was carried by four men. I won't tell you, these four men are good men because they're going to bring the man to Jesus. They're real friends. Your real friends bring you to Jesus. If they don't bring you to Jesus and they bring you to gossip, they're not your friends. Dump them. Dump them. Dump them. Your real friends are like these four men who brought the man to Jesus. Well, how do they bring him to Jesus? Because the door is filled, you know, the house is filled. And what happens? And when they could not come in for press of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the man was sick with palsy lay. So the man with palsy now is in front of Jesus. These four men loved this man that was sick so much that they opened a roof and let him down and let him before the feet of Jesus. These are friends. These are friends. When Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? The faith of the four men that let down the man with palsy. He said unto the sick man with palsy, son, your sins are forgiven you. Well, my gosh. There's going to be trouble in River City. Why? Because who can forgive sins but only God? But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but only God? Hallelujah. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why do you reason in yourselves, in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick man who has palsy, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick man with palsy, I say unto you, arise and take up thy bed and go away into your house. And immediately the man arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I tell you, it happens with people who have never come to a healing service. They've never heard about healing, but they're desperate. So they come, and God touches them, even he heals them. And they say, we never saw anything like this. Why isn't this happening in other places? I'm going to tell you why. Because it takes faith to bring healing to the sick. Every priest has been given the ability to heal the sick. I know that to be true. I told you the story about Father Arthur, but I'm going to tell it to you again. Father Arthur, a Polish priest, was walking one day in outdoors, and a woman came to him with a sick baby, and the woman said to him, heal my baby. And Father Arthur said, I can't heal your baby. Take him to the doctors. She put the baby in the priest's arms, and the priest started to pray the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he continued by praying the Our Father, gave the child back to the mother. The next day the mother comes back and says, my baby was healed by your prayer. I tell you, Father Arthur started to continue to pray for people, and people still are being healed through his ministry. It's all about the lady, you know, the lady that brought Father Arthur the little girl or the little boy. It's all about the lady who does what she needs to do. Let's continue. So Jesus has power not only to heal the sick, but to forgive people. And they said, we never saw anything like this. And it came forth again by the seaside that all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. You see, Jesus is always preaching the word of God. We must know that the preaching of God's word brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must know that if Jesus preached everywhere, we must do the same thing. I do not preach about healing per se. I preach the name of Jesus, the power of God, the risen Savior, the crucified Savior, the risen Savior who does the healing. You see, we are called to preach. To a call to preach. Priest's first job is not the Eucharist. The priest's first job, according to Paul VI, is to preach the word of God, to be urgent in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. So this is the job of the priest. This is the job of the minister, to preach the word of God. But in order to preach the word of God, they have to know the person who they're preaching. They have to love the person that they're preaching. We preach Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. Oh yes, and we see people getting healed because of the power of God. It has nothing to do with me, everything to do with the power of God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, she said. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Many of you have received our Christmas letter. Please respond to it so that we can pay our bills. The address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.